Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to be very emphatic about one point, and that is the purpose of ISKCON is to make leaders. This material nature, this materialistic world, generally teaches, especially nowadays, how to become a servant. The purpose of modern education, what is the objective of modern education? Most of you are students. How many of you are studying now? And how many of you have completed your studies? Wonderful. So did you ever consider what is the purpose of your education? Will it be too shocking if I say that the purpose of this education is to create servants? Nokar. Right? The purpose of it, in most cases, what's the objective of the education? To get a job. What's the Hindi expression of a job? Where does the word come from? Actually, it's very good to be a nokar, but of the right person. In this material world, people make you feel that you are the boss, but actually they are turning you into a servant. When they employ you, no matter how much money they pay you, the designation, the fringe benefits, the facilities, sounds very attractive. But what is the objective of that? Just to use you for their purpose. Some people, they're enterprising. They set up their businesses. And they employ so many people. But what's the objective? The objective is to exploit them to make their profit. Isn't it a fact, when someone pays you X amount of money as a salary, isn't he making 10x for himself? Otherwise, why is he paying X to you, X amount to you? He's not doing charity. So the point was, to clarify this point, I'll just give you an example. When Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, one very well-known industrialist from Delhi, who was very fond of Srila Prabhupada, went to see him. He was a very nice man. His name is Jayadayal Dalmia. The Dalmia group, he is the head of the group. So Jayadayal Dalmia came with his three daughters-in-law and their grandchildren, their children. Jayadayal Dalmia's grandchildren, quite a few of them. So at that time Prabhupada started the Gurukul in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada was telling Mr. Dalmia that you should send your children, your grandchildren, to the Gurukul. And he pointed out that the modern education, that what's going on in the name of education, schools and colleges, is simply designed to make servants. He said the objective of that education is just to get a job, to become somebody's servant. And Prabhupada said, your grandchildren are not going to look for a job. They actually should become the leaders. And in order to lead, one must know where to lead. If the leaders do not know where to lead, what is going to happen to their followers? Andha jathaiva andha upogiyamanam. A blind man can lead other blinds only to a ditch. Because he himself doesn't know where to go. So where is he going to lead them? And that is the problem of today's world. There are many leaders, but they don't know where to lead. And as a result of that, the whole world is confused. And they hope that some leader will come and he will he will save them. During the election, what happens? Like during the election, they think that this leader is really going to do something. But what happens in course of time, everybody sees that he is also not different from the previous ones. As a matter of fact, the quality of leadership is deteriorating in this world. That's what happens in democracy. Democracy may start off with a good objective, good ideology, but democracy in time degenerates, degrades. You can see at the time of independence what kind of leaders India had. They were quite idealistic. They had their principle, they had patriotic feelings, and in course of time, now you're seeing what's the quality of our leaders. Sometimes some good leaders come, it's not that. But then again, they can't do much because the system doesn't allow them to do anything. And you know what is the forecast for the future of this age of Kali? In Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, the dacoits will become leaders. Dashu prayeshu rajanneshu. Rajanna means the kings. The dacoits, the bandits will become the kings. And what do the bandits do? They steal and loot and plunder. The situation will become so bad that people will run away from cities and towns and villages and go into the forest just to be away from that. Of course, that situation hasn't come as yet, but one thing you can be rest assured, that words of Bhagavatam are not going to go in vain. Bhagavatam is dealing with the absolute truth. It may not be happening now, but in course of time, in this age of Kali, that is the inevitable. Now, in this precarious situation, what is actually needed? We need leaders, real leaders. And ISKCON's objective is to create that kind of leaders. Now, today's topic is timeless leadership. Timeless leadership. What does this aspect timeless indicate? In a way, you can say that timeless leadership would have been presented as transcendental leadership. Transcending means beyond this material nature. Material nature is within the time factor. With three aspects. Time has three aspects: past, present, and future. Time in this material nature has a beginning and an end. Everything in this material nature has a beginning and end. So it is within the jurisdiction of time, or within the domain of time, material nature. So the leadership that we are going to discuss about is timeless, that is, beyond time, beyond this material nature. A kind of leadership which doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. The leader, that means, what is beyond material? Beyond material, beyond matter is spirit. Beyond this material nature is the spiritual reality. So timeless leadership actually indicates spiritual leadership. And here we come to the main point. There are various types of leaders with different objectives. The leadership has different causes. They have cause. They have certain purpose. Some has the objective of, you know, achieving something, materially. I mean, in the material nature, those objectives are economic development, there are great leaders, social reform, social leaderships, national leaderships, like there are various types of objectives that people have. But all those objectives are, all those objectives within the material domain, you know, has their limitations. Like for example, say Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela. I mean, they have been great leaders. Did their leadership lead to a lasting effect? How many people remember Gandhi today? Rather, many people are criticizing Gandhi today. At that time, he was a big leader. Say about 60 years back, he was a big leader. The whole of India was just vibrant with his movement. But today, people are saying, why, for the sake of getting independence, why did he let the British divide the country? Why the nation was divided on the basis of religion? Pakistan was given to the Muslims. What did the Indians get? What did the Hindus get? India was not for the... Anyway, my point is that they are... People today are criticizing, right or wrong. I'm not concerned about that. I am quite involved in South Africa. Nelson Mandela, he actually is a great personality. He did something wonderful in South Africa. After independence, Nelson Mandela's example was really acclaimed all over the world. That ideology of ANC, African National Congress, is degenerating. There are today the leaders, in just 20 years' time, they are squandering, the leaders are squandering the money, taking the money out of the country, and these leaders are becoming inconceivably opulent. Where is that ideology? Now, why these leaders are failure? Because they do not know where to lead. So here we have to understand that the first thing that the leader must have is proper vision. Where to lead his followers. Now when we come to ISKCON, do we get that objective established? What should be the goal of life? Should the goal of life be just to earn money? Should the goal of life be just to have a big position? Should the goal of life be just to become famous? should the goal of life be to become a very powerful personality? Or should the goal of life be something beyond that? Did you get that answer coming to ISKCON? What the goal of life should be? It's a very simple goal, very simple objective, to become situated in our actual identity. This identity that we have now in this material nature is not our real identity. It's a mistaken identity. That is the meaning of the word false ego. We have three subtle elements and a body made of three subtle elements: mind, intelligence and false ego. What is the first entrapment when we come to the material nature? False ego. Mistaken identity. What is that mistaken identity? I am this body. That is our mistaken identity. I am what I am not. So that is the that is our materialistic identity. But what is our real identity? Our real identity is we are spirit souls. So that is the first thing that Krishna is actually pointing out in Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna refused to fight because he has to kill his grandfather and spiritual master, Astra Guru, not spiritual master, that military art, the guru who taught him military art. So he refused to fight, but Krishna pointed out that you are speaking like a wise man, but you do not have the knowledge. You do not have the right knowledge. And the right knowledge is, there was never a time when all these kings, you and me, did not exist. And there will never be a time when we will not be. Natve bahaṁ jātu nāsaṁ natvaṁ neme janādhipa na bhūya na bhavishyama sarve vayam atappayam atapparam. There was never a time when we did not exist. And there will never be a time when we will not be, will not exist. Then who Krishna is talking about? Not this body. Krishna is talking about something that is beyond this body, because the body is perishable. There was a time when we didn't have this body, and there will be a time when we will not have this body. Then why Krishna is saying that there was never a time when you did not exist? So that point Krishna is pointing out in the verse afterwards. Dehi nashmin jatha dehe komaram jovanam jara. This body changes from childhood to youth to old age. But in spite of the change of the body, we do not change. The body changes, but we do not change. Then what is this body? What is our relationship with this body? Or what is the real self? He pointed that out already. Dehi and deha. He made a distinction here. Owner of the body and the body. Who is the owner of the body? The owner of the body is real me. And the body is just like a dress, like a covering. Jirnani vashangshi jatha bihaya navani grinhati narvaparani. Just as when the dress becomes old, we get rid of that old dress and put on a new one. Similarly, when this body becomes old, we discard this old body in order to put on a new body, in order to accept a new body. That is the mystery behind birth and death. When we accept a new body, we call it birth. When we reject the or give up the old body, we call it death. And the period in between from birth to death, as long as the soul is in the body, we call it life. Now who is alive? The body is alive. The soul, there is no consideration, no question of the soul's being alive, because the soul is making the body alive. Soul's presence in the body makes the body alive. So that soul is our real identity. That's the first thing that Krishna established in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, the soul, is the soul a product of material, of this material nature? Is a product of this material nature? No. The soul came from another reality, the spiritual reality. Now, this is the simple objective that we all have to achieve. We have forgotten our real identity and we have to become situated in our real identity. And that real identity is the spiritual identity, the identity that we are in reality as the spirit soul. We are spiritual beings. That is our real identity. And so in that respect it reminds me, today is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's appearance day. How many of you know who is Bhakti Vinod Thakur? How many of you do not know who is Bhakti Vinod Thakur? How many of you want to know about Bhakti Vinod Thakur? Okay. There is that murti, that is Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, how many of you know who was the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's father is Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a deputy magistrate during the British time. And he, during the British India, to have the position of the deputy, as the position of the deputy magistrate, was one of the highest position that an Indian could get. He was one of the most exalted Indians of that time. And in spite of being situated in such a coveted, respectable position, Bhakti Vinod Thakur took it upon himself to revive the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Bengal at that time, he was undoubtedly one of the most exalted personalities. And he came across Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Not really teachings as such. He became aware of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's actual identity was practically lost in Bengal. There were all kinds of undesirable, rather abominable activities were going on in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were a group of unscrupulous people who in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was introducing all kinds of abominable activities. To give a simple example, or to make it make this point simply, Krishna consciousness or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are based on principle of dharma, right? And what is the basis of dharma? What are the four pillars of dharma? No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. Right? The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must abide by these four principles. Now, at that time, in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were introducing these four these four sinful activities. That means in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu they are promoting meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication and gambling. So you can well imagine what was the condition. And as a result of that, no cultured, educated and intelligent people had nothing to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They thought that these are the, like in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu they are smoking ganja. In the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu they were having illicit relationships. In the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu they were eating meat and fish and eggs. So you can well imagine what was the condition of Bengal at that time. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually revived the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we look at the history, it's something like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and practically inundated the whole India with Krishna consciousness. Premer bonna loiya nitai ailo gaura deshe. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki. Jai Shri Shri Giridhari Gopal ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Shri Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inundated the whole of India with Sankirtan movement. But soon after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings got lost. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham also got lost. Then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and he revived Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard that there is a book called Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in that book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lives and teachings have been most wonderfully presented by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. But in the whole of Bengal, Bhaktivinoda Thakur couldn't find a single copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you can consider what was the condition at that time. He found one copy in Orissa. And he took that book and with his Bhakti Vedanta purport, Amrita Prabhava Bhashya, meaning the nectarian flow of commentary, like he presented Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali. He started to print it and distribute it. So this is how he actually revived Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. But he was a very highly placed government officer. Therefore he did not have the time to spread it himself. So he prayed to Lord Jagannath to send an able assistant to assist him in this mission. And as a result of his prayer, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came as his son. Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually named him as the mercy or prasad of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath's prasad comes out to Bimala Devi, Annapurna. And Annapurna, she actually distributes the prasad. So therefore he named him as Bimala Prasad. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took his mission and spread it all over India. And then came Srila Prabhupada, who took this message and distributed it all over the world. So in this way we can see that these three personalities came in succession to fulfill the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was Mahaprabhu's arrangement that his teachings got lost. His teachings got totally eclipsed. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they came and re-established it. reviving this mission, he re-established. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an extremely brilliant personality. He wrote profusely to establish Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. He wrote many, many books, as I said, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, he presented with his Amrita Prabaho Bhashya, the nectarian flow. The commentary that's a flow of nectar. He also presented books like Chaitanya Bhagavat and Bhakti Ratnakar and all these books that were presenting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lives and teachings. He presented them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur not only wrote the philosophy, but he presented the philosophy or teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the essential teachings of the Vedas in poetry also. He was a great poet. And he not only wrote in Bengali, he wrote in Sanskrit, he wrote poetry in Sanskrit. He wrote poetry in English. That's where I was actually coming to. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, through his writings, he actually presented the essential teachings of the Vedas, the spiritual objective. Like there is one poetry in English, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is presenting the entire objective of Krishna consciousness through 21 stanzas. And it starts with, "Alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid forms their hearts forever employ." See, just in one stanza, he is explaining the materialistic way of life. "Alas for those, I pity those people. Alas, I feel bad for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy." They're spending their days in festive mirth and joy. But in reality, what it is? The dazzling, deadly, liquid forms their hearts forever employ. Their hearts are attracted to this dazzling, at the same time deadly. Apparently it's dazzling, but it's deadly. And liquid forms. Liquid form means, does the liquid has in it lasting form? It's only a temporary transient form. So, the festive mirth and joy is based on what? Dazzling, deadly, liquid forms. Isn't that the materialistic way of life? They want to spend their days in festive mirth and joy pursuing the dazzling, deadly, liquid forms. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. A drunkard, what is the state of existence of a drunkard? The shining bottle. The shining bottle charm their eyes and draw their heart's embrace. A drunkard, what he won't give for a bottle of whiskey, right? The shining bottle charm their eyes and draw their heart's embrace. The slaves of wine Actually, there, the slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. They can never rise from their disgraceful state of existence. They're rolling in the gutter and thinking that he is Alexander the Great or Napoleon Bonaparte. And in this way he is going on to describing our life. A life is but a rosy hue from here to go to naught. The life here is, it's a rosy hue. And it will fall. The life is but a rosy hue to go from here to naught. And in another stanza, he is actually saying, let me see, it will last for 100 years and like a rose ablown. A rose blooms and it lasts for a short while, looks very beautiful, and then what happens? The petals get blown away. Then what is left? Then he is pointing out about time. Forget the past that slips and never. Future dream at all. Live with the time that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. Isn't it a wonderful analysis of time? Forget the past. That is gone. What can you do with it? Don't dwell in the past. Never even dream about the future. Never future dream at all. Be with the time that are with thee. The time that is with you. What's with us actually? The present. So live in the present. Try to take full advantage of the time that is with you. Do not waste your time dreaming about the past, dwelling in the past and dreaming about the future. Be here now. So, and that is called progress. Then he is describing that he comes across a personality who actually gives him this transcendental message of Krishna consciousness. Doesn't it happen like we are spending our life in a certain way and then we come across a devotee? How many of you came to Krishna consciousness by coming across a devotee and being preached to? Right. So we come across a devotee. And then we get the message. Then we take to the process. So that devotee who brings the message is a Vaishnava. So the last two paragraphs, he is saying, O Shara Grahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair, lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. Didn't it happen to us, all of us? O Shara Grahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair, as if he came as a fair angel into our lives. Giving us the message of Krishna consciousness. Thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. Declare the power of the spirit. Establish me in my spiritual identity. in the spiritual domain. There rests my soul from matter free. Upon my lover's arms, there rests my soul, becoming free from the bondage of matter, in the loving embrace of our lover. So who is that lover? Krishna. There rests my soul from matter free upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. So that is the goal that a Vaishnav leader leads us to. Now tell me, how many of you want to become leaders? Don't feel shy. It's not going to display your false ego. Rather, it is going to situate you in your real identity. That is what Srila Prabhupada was speaking about. The purpose of ISKCON is to create leaders. Because these leaders are going to save this world. But a true leader first becomes a follower. A good leader must become a good follower. And a good follower makes a true leader. Because he is inspired from within by the mercy of the Lord. The transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart, and then he imparts this knowledge unto others. It is not an intellectual transmission. It is a spiritual transmission that takes place. How this knowledge is imparted, how this knowledge is received, and how this knowledge is given, Bhagavad Gita is explaining the process. How? Tadviddhi pranipatena. In order to receive this knowledge, one must approach the teacher in a humble way by offering himself to him. Pranipatena. This word pranipat literally means offering obeisances. But what is the significance of obeisances? That I am offering myself to you. So please, guide me, groom me, and prepare me. Pranipatena. And then pariprashnena. Sincere inquiry. A student must question. Things that he cannot understand, he must question in order to clarify. Pariprashnena and sevaya. By service, he must please the teacher. Then upadekshanti te jnanam. Then the teacher will give the knowledge. Upadekshanti. And jnanina stattva darshina. He can give it. Because he has it. So that is the way this transcendental knowledge is transmitted. And that process is called parampara. Teacher to student. Then in course of time, the student becomes the teacher. And he imparts the knowledge. And that leader is called guru. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ordering that become guru on my order. I am ordering you to become spiritual leaders. Amar aggay guru hoya taro ei desh. Deliver this world by becoming guru. So in order to accept the responsibility, we should not feel shy. It is not actually a position but it is a role. It's a role that we all have to play. That is, receive the knowledge, transmit the knowledge. Receive the knowledge and distribute this knowledge. So that is why ISKCON is here, and that is why we are inviting you to come and be with us. So how many of you are ready to take up this responsibility? Wonderful. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. So, does anybody have any question? Does anybody have any question? Yes. One thing I can tell you, we want you to ask questions. Don't feel shy to ask questions. Please feel free to ask any question you have pertaining to this topic.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, really like to thank you for the leadership sutras. I like this poem which you share of Bhakti Vinod Thakur Maharaj. In that you said that there is one has to be very focused in the present. If there is a past and there is a future also, but always there is a fear what will be a future. There is always anxiety what will happen future, and there is so many bad experiences in the past. So how can one focus oneself in a present, as said in the poem, Maharaj?
Okay, good question. The past has its significance, but past has a significance as the foundation. Right? On this foundation, your structure is built. Your life should be built on the foundation of your past. Whatever you are doing today, when it goes into the past, then that becomes the building, the foundation of the structure. Right? In the past, you make mistakes. Right? Rectify those mistakes. And learn from those mistakes, not to make those mistakes again. In this way, we are not saying that don't think about the past, but don't dwell in the past. Oh, in the past everything was so honky-dory and everything was so wonderful. No, deal with the, let the past, it's gone. What's the point in dwelling in it? But generally people do that. They just dwell in the past and dream about the future. In the future I'll have But the future also will be built on how you're acting on the present. So let the past be the foundation, let the present be the building blocks for the future. Thank you. Any other question? Yeah.
His Excellency Mahamalove Sensei Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Generally, the process of becoming a leader or process of purification is gradual. And at we reach a stage where we're not yet purified, but we have the intention of proceeding, and we present ourselves to society in that stage, and there is an expectation from others that they hold us to a high standard of purity or expect that we are fully pure while we are still in the process. How do we handle those situations where maybe we...
You see, as I mentioned, the leadership in Krishna consciousness is not really a position, but it's a role. That is, you become leader not in sitting on a big seat, right? Rather, you become a leader by distributing the knowledge that you have received. And to what extent, to the extent that you have received that knowledge, to that extent you distribute. And that is how you are fulfilling that responsibility or fulfilling that role. And like Prabhupada very clearly told us actually, that it is not that first you have to become a perfect and then you will start to preach. No, whatever you have learned, distribute. Prabhupada even went to the extent of telling, just if you have understood that Krishna is God, just go and tell people. Just go and tell people, Krishna is God. And then if he counters, then if he challenges, then smash him. So that knowledge you have to have, and if you can't defeat him, then bring him to the temple and bring him to Gauranga Prabhu. So the point is, we have to be convinced about this, the effectivity of this process, the efficacy of this process. Is this process genuine? The process of Krishna consciousness. Does it work? Does it free us from the bondage of birth and death? What's your answer? Do you believe that? You heard. Okay. Very good. You have heard. And then you can practically see how the devotees in the movement are leaving their bodies. Like just the other day, one lady left her body in Vrindavan. And her son actually wrote to me that when she left her body, she opened her eyes and there was a beautiful smile in her face and she left. Now who can die smiling? Tell me. And what does it take to leave your body in that way? When do you smile? When you are in pain, do you smile? You cry when you are in pain. But you smile when you are happy. And the reality is, when you have surrendered yourself to Krishna all your life, you can rest assured that at the time of your leaving the body, Krishna will come or Krishna will send his agent. And when you see him, how will you feel? Won't you smile? That's how the devotees leave their bodies. So that is the proof of the genuineness and effectivity of this process. Thank you. Yes, give the mic to.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, recently I met a friend and I was talking to him about why we should believe in God.
But I was not able to. Talking to whom?
One of my friend.
Oh, you're one of your friends.
Yeah, and I was talking to him and I was not able to convince him completely that, why we should believe in God and, what is the need. He was asking me, what is the need to bring God in my life if I have everything in my life is going on smoothly. So, what is the need for me to bring him in my life? Let him be where he is, let me be where I am. I tried to explain, but I was not convinced. So if you can help me with this, Maharaj, please.
Okay, it's like, a child may think, or child may say, why do I need my father? I can take care of myself. Right? But when he becomes sick, when he is in difficulty, and no one is there to turn to, then what does he do? Daddy, daddy, where are you? Right? So now you may say, well, I don't need God. But when you are in real difficulty, and then if you are aware that there is a personality to whom you can really depend upon, and he will not fail you, to become, and if a personality like that is there, isn't it wise to accept that personality? So that is one way of looking at it, you know. Like people, those who are saying that I don't need God, and fine, okay. Dear sir, I'll come to you, when the doctor tells you that you got cancer. Then I'll ask you, do you need somebody to turn to? Okay, at the time of death, I'll come and ask you, do you need somebody? Or if you had someone like that, wouldn't it have been so beneficial for you? And especially when he is there, you see, why do I need God? It's not a matter of whether I need or not. His first consideration is whether he is or not. Whether he is there or not. Right? Now, if we look at the world around us and see that it's maintaining a beautiful order, then don't we have to consider that someone is controlling? The sun rises at a specific time. Every day sets at a specific time. Seasons change. Wonderful things happen around us. A small little seed falls on the ground. Right? And a tree comes out. In the tree there are fruits. In the fruits there are seeds. In those seeds there are trees. In those trees there are fruits. In those fruits there are seeds. Did someone make that arrangement? We are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. If the process continued like that, then the whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide and there wouldn't have been any oxygen left. But did it ever happen? The trees and plants are taking the carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen. Now tell me, who made this arrangement? So if we approach in an intelligent way, then we can't deny the fact that there is somebody who is controlling everything. So who is that? And consider, you know, how he is taking care of us in all respects. Right? For our food, you know, he made this arrangement. He put a tree in a tiny little seed and the tree is full of fruits. Our food, the grains, all that are coming as his gift. We may say, God give us our daily bread. But do we ever say, God give us our daily oxygen? We don't. But the thing is, he is supplying, he is taking care of all that. Another way to look at it is, if I take this microphone and ask you, did somebody make it? What will be your answer? Did somebody make this table? Did somebody make this glass? Did somebody make this building? Did somebody make the road? Did somebody make this planet? When it comes to the building and you say, well, nobody made it. It came from a primordial soup. Will you accept it? But why then, when it comes to the planet or the universe or the entire material nature, It is a matter of accident. Just by accident, some atoms and molecules came together and this world was created. Is it an intelligent approach? The thing is, you can see how the whole world is being bluffed by a bunch of unscrupulous people. The creation came out of accident. Creation is came from Big Bang, or so forth. There was an American philosopher, I think it was Will Durant. He made a statement that the concept that the creation came from an accident, came out of an accident, sounds as absurd as there was an explosion in a printing press and the way the types fell, the Webster dictionary got printed. So any intelligent person, if he gives a patient hearing, sincere hearing, then he will have to accept the existence of God. I may not know who the manufacturer of this microphone is, but I have to accept that there is a person who made it. Right? And then if I want to find out, yes, I can find out. I go to Google and search the company's name and find out, you know, who is the manufacturer. We can go there and find out. There's a way. Similarly, there's a way to find out who is the creator of the entire creation. And that supreme creator is the supreme personality of Godhead. Okay? So now, are you going to smash your friend? I won't say smash your friend. Bring some sense to your friend.
My words.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. The back.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Today's lectures on leadership, I want to ask that on the path of leadership, the leader is known to be someone who is creative. He is always on the path of growth. You know, we take a bath to get fresh, you know, it gives us freshness. We don't take it occasionally, we take it daily, you know. To get that performance, to maintain that growth, we need a motivation. Okay, so how to get that motivation from inside us, inside a person, and to maintain that consistency on the part of leadership?
Very good point, very good point. Yeah, to maintain that that interest and motivation, as you put it, you have to associate with the devotees. Be in the right association and read the right books. That's why, you know, reading and hearing and following the process in the association of devotees is so important. Like, say, for example, if you want to become an expert in some area, like you want to become an expert doctor, what do you do? To maintain the motivation, what do you do? Don't you go to a medical school? Don't you associate with the teachers who are expert in that field? Don't you associate with other doctors or other students who are also harboring the same interest? So in the spiritual practice also, that is the way. The association of devotees in the right environment under the guidance of qualified teachers. Are you doing that?
I'll make sure I'll...
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much. There is some question at the back.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you for wonderful class. My question is that Maharaj, that we see that it is also said that when we deviate from the mainstream, So there is a chaos, utpadevi kevalam, in the society. So we also observe in nowadays that there is a lot of chaos and fighting between the two religious groups. And it is not that some two religions are fighting. Within our Vaishnava community or within the India also, you know, from the many years there is a fighting between the Shaivites and the Vaishnavas. Now we see the fight between the Hindu, Muslims, Shia, Sunni, all these. So some people say that it is better to abandon the religion, so because it is a root cause of all this fighting in the society. And
yeah, very good point. You see, when people fight, right, then we have to understand that they are not following the right process. They are not practicing it properly. Right? Like, for example, say the two religions, as you said, are fighting. They are not really true religion. They are two faith. And they also, we can, another definition of another American philosopher, when he was defining Christianity, he mentioned that a religion remains a religion for first few years. Then it becomes a philosophy. Then it becomes a political convenience. And then it becomes a mere ritual. So today, most of the religions, so-called religions, have become just degenerated into mere rituals. They are saying, my religion is this. They are following, just talking about certain rituals. Another group following certain rituals, and that's their religion. And they're just conflicting on the basis of that, because they're not really following true religion. True religion will unify. True religion will not divide. Religion, if religion is the science, the way Prabhupada presented it, true religion is a science to understand the spiritual reality. Like, through science is a systematic way of understanding something. Now, spiritual reality is a substance, is something. And religion is the way to understand that spiritual reality, which first recognizes our identity being spiritual, and then recognizes that we all are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how many Supreme Personality of Godheads are there? How many? One. So if all the religions are speaking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are they talking about different persons or different ways? No. They're talking about the same personality, and the approach to him is the same. All religion will accept it. But because of the difference of language and so forth, they're creating the division. They say, my God is in his language, whatever he's calling, and your God is that. Both are actually saying he's the supreme. Right? But they're fighting. Oh, my God is this and your God is that. Therefore, my God is real and your God is fake. And he says, no, my God is the real God. And then they pull out their swords and start to fight. So it is due to sheer misunderstanding caused by acute lack of proper information, proper education, that it is happening like this today. But true religion, you know something, when one devotee was translating Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada told him to write, like when Bhagavad Gita says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prabhupada asked him to translate as, Allah said. See how broad a self-realized soul's vision is. He is not saying the difference between Krishna and Allah. He is saying that Allah is Krishna. In his language, he is addressing him as Allah. Doesn't he mean supreme? Doesn't Allah, what does the word Allah mean? Huh? All powerful. Huh? Okay. So who is all powerful? Why don't you say Allah? So that is the thing. So now, you see, these conflicts are created by Kali. Kali's business is to divide and spread his influence. And to counteract that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way? Unify everyone through Sankirtan. So Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is meant to unify everyone. And that is what ISKCON is here for. The world has already been divided into so many fragments. Now our business is to unify them all. Okay? So when you see them fighting, go and tell them, why are you fighting? Like water, it's something like, water is a substance. In different languages, the water has different names. But does it make water different? Like Hindi, water is Pani, and in German, it's Wasser. Right? So can the German say, no, Wasser quenches my thirst. And you say, no, Pani quenches my thirst. It's the water that quenches your thirst. So we have to see the substance beyond this terminology. There is some question at the back, and we'll have quite a few hands are going up, and then I'll come to you. Like, okay, 1, 2, then 3, then 4. Okay.
I have one.
Give him
question.
The mic. Oh, okay. So you're the fifth one. Okay, go ahead.
I have a question. That as a leader, it is said that a leader should be a good listener.
Good, so, a leader should be a good listener. Yeah.
So, if we have any task to complete that task, if we have the responsibility to complete that task, then there are many views from his team that somebody will be in favor of that and somebody will be against that. So, if we complete that task with the majority of the points, then if we get defeat in the success in the task, task is not completed successfully. So, in this situation, what leader should do? Means he is defeated and task is not successful. So, what should leader do in these circumstances?
Can you define a little more clearly? Like, what do you mean by the task? Give me
any responsibility is given, for example, to perform any event, and you are responsible for this. You are the authority, and he made his team and successfully he completed the task. But at the end, the results are not in that favor, means as expected, a task is not completed.
Okay.
So, what should leader do in this situation?
Try his best. The point is, you know, like, our business is to try our best and leave the result up to Krishna. Like, we should not be so concerned. Sometimes there will be success, sometimes there will be failure. We should not be too much concerned about that. But on our part, we should try our level best. Okay. Okay, those two hands have been there for some time. pass the mic to them.
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. My question is, suppose our leaders, born leaders, or anyone can be a leader, and suppose I am having a weakness of indecisiveness.
Okay, first, I'll make a point here. Not that anyone can be a leader. One has to be qualified to be a leader. Right? To lead, that's the first thing I made, like you have to know where to lead and how to lead. That qualification must be there. Without being qualified, if somebody tries to lead, then there will be problem. But this qualification can be simple. Like as I mentioned, like if you know that Krishna is God, and if you fully believe in that, fully convinced about that, then go and tell everybody that Krishna is God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? For that you don't have to be a PhD or have to have a big degree or big qualification. The qualification is your own conviction about this subject. Okay?
And my second question was, a leader has this main important task of taking decisions now, every now and then. So how to overcome
that's
this?
Another qualification. Right? See, you know, like one has to be qualified. Yes, he has to be qualified to make decisions and be responsible about it. And, you know, push himself and his followers to pursue that decision. Alright? Thank you. Give it to the next year.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, accept my humble obeisances.
Jai Shri Krishna.
My question is, at this nascent level of in Krishna consciousness, you find it very difficult to express your views, at least for me. The other day I was having a discussion with my uncle on what is the purpose of life and this illusionary world, Maya, and and what he said was, when you have hunger in the stomach and no money in your pockets, let me see where this philosophy of yours works. And this is one school of thought, and the other school of thought relates to my friend who's pretty much into smoking and drinking. And I tried to convince him that you're wasting your life, you're living like an animal. is this the true purpose of your life? And he counter-questioned me and he asked me, how many cats and dogs have you seen smoking? So...
Yeah, the first one, the consideration is that, you know, be careful while preaching to your superior relatives. Because they will never take you seriously. They will always think that you are just a child. What do you know? They think that they know better than you. So that's why when it comes to preaching, you may answer when they ask questions, you may give relevant, intelligent answers. But when it comes to, say, for example, preaching, then better to take some other devotee to preach to them. That is one thing. And also, when speaking to your friends or preaching to your friends, you may take some liberty in expressing yourself, but be careful about it. Because don't use a wrong example and wrong terms. So, you see, he took it, you said it in a certain context. You are leading the life like that of an animal. But his answer was, from another perspective, he couldn't understand why you are considering that because he is smoking and drinking, he is leading an animalistic life. And his natural, you know, counter to that was, which animal smokes and drinks? So, you know, like be, first of all, you know, when you're preaching, be polite. Be polite and, you know, because, you know, otherwise it may lead to kind of clashes and conflicts, which will counteract, you know. Spoil the purpose. So, while you're preaching, I mean, out of your enthusiasm you may get fired up. But do it in a tactful way. Thank you. So there's a question here. He is the fourth, and then I'll take yours. Pass the mic on to him.
Maharaj, we hear many propaganda. Like in 2011 census, this census has come up that the population of minorities is going up and the population of majorities going down. So as we are practicing this process, but still we are affected by these things that these cow killers, these people, they are increasing. So how should be our viewpoint on them? How should we look upon as we are practicing this process also? But still we are affected by these things.
Well, you see, we are not so much concerned about how the opposing force is becoming strong and powerful. Our concern should be, how can we increase our own agenda, how we can push our agenda, how we can, you know, increase our force. Then by increasing our force, they will automatically be subdued. Right? Say, for example, the world is going in a certain way. The world is going in a negative way. Right? What is becoming prevalent in this world? Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. Right? That is being promoted every day. Now our business is not to tear down those billboards, you know, that are promoting that and so forth, or get into confrontation with them. Our way is, first we work upon ourselves. How strictly, how earnestly I am following this lifestyle. And then we convince others, influence others, and that is how this, our purpose, will be fulfilled. You got my point? Like, say for example, you know, like the cows are being slaughtered. Now if we go there and try to stop the cow slaughterers, you know, close down the slaughterhouses, if you try to do that, then a whole lot of energy will be just, you know, wasted or misused in doing that. And we are going to be confronted with an opposition which is really insurmountable. We cannot really defeat them at this point. So at this point, what is the best thing to do? We stop this eating meat. Then we convince others about the bad effects, ill effects of meat eating. And the advantage of taking Krishna prasad, advantage of accepting the process of Krishna consciousness. And then what will happen? Gradually, this understanding will spread and eventually will prevail. And mind you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants Dharma to become established again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan, Sankirtan Yajna, to be established in every town and village. And it will happen. What we have to do, we simply have to push Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's agenda. And we work on that. How do we work on that principle? Follow Mahaprabhu's instructions. Trinadopi sunichena taroriva shahishnuna amanena manadena kirtanya sadahari. Let's do that. At least we can do that. No one can stop us from doing that. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki. Jai Shri Shri Nath Ji Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki. Just consider, Prabhupada alone went to America. And in 10 years' time, what did he do? Right? I joined ISKCON about 40 years ago. Those days there was hardly any Indian participation. Right? But today you see this temple is full with you all. So how did it happen? It happened because the devotees sincerely practiced the process. Devotees sincerely preached what they are practicing. And as a result of that, it's happening. When Srila Prabhupada went to Russia, he just made one disciple. Prabhupada stayed there for 3 days and made one disciple, initiated one disciple. And that was about, say, 40 years ago. And today, there is a Krishna conscious spiritual revolution going on in Russia. So much so that the Orthodox Church is worried. So, you know, how is it happening? Because of the sincere endeavor of the sincere souls. Alright. So, now that at the back, where's the mic?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
As you said, be a good leader, you have to be first a good
follower.
So, but they also say the man himself is the best leader for himself.
Man?
Himself is the best leader.
Very good point. And the man himself is the best follower also. So, yes. At least one person you can lead very nicely. That's yourself. Right? So that's the point. And, yes, and it will have its effect. If you're convinced about certain ideology, certain principle, a certain objective, then yes, pursue it wholeheartedly. Drive yourself in order to mold yourself according to that ideology. Right? And then you'll become a perfect example.
That means we don't have to follow anyone?
No, you follow. You follow. But when it comes to leading, then first, that's the question. that it's, I mean, it's not that a man has to lead himself by, I mean, only lead himself. Right? Himself should become the leader for himself. No. You follow other leaders, but when it comes to leading, then you start to lead yourself first. That means what you want others to achieve, you try to achieve yourself first. What you want others to follow, you try to follow that yourself first. Okay? Okay, so I think the last question I'll take, and okay, last two questions. Okay, they're at the back, and then there is... Okay, last three questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for giving us a very clear understanding of what actual leadership means, because from Karmi point of view also there are many conceptions of people giving many definitions of leadership, but giving a very clear understanding of leadership means actually understanding the real concept and then trying to follow by your own example.
Yeah.
But most general, at least current trend is people accept leadership means, or a leader means, how famous he is, based on how online followers or how... That is the current trend of actual... No one gets into the detailed definition of what leadership means, but everyone considers someone to be a leader based on how many followers or how many online or offline followers he has.
No, that is not a consideration of leaders and followers. That is a consideration of cheaters and the cheated. Okay.
But my question is, in previous times, or the reference, like Krishna consciousness, we take reference of spiritual leaders like various kings, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Amrish Maharaj. So they were spiritually pure as well as they were famous also. But currently, in current trends, people those who are spiritually pure are not much famous.
Yeah,
and people
the are reason famous, is, the difference is, those days people were looking for in a genuine spiritual objective. But today, people do not really aspire, people are not looking for that spiritual objective. They are simply enamored by glamour and all kinds of cheating that is going on. That's what I was trying to point out. Right? Like today, look at, you know, who are the people who are followers, who are famous? As you said, leaders must be famous. Who can act and, you know, becomes a movie star. He's a big leader. Somebody who can expertly hit a ball in a field. These are the people, those who are becoming famous. Because the people have become so badly misdirected, they do not know what to look for. Right? So that is the difference between those days and today. Right? And the thing is also, not that everybody was famous at that time. As you mentioned yourself, do you think Prahlad Maharaj was famous at that time? His own father wanted to kill him. He was surrounded by people, those who all were trying to kill him on the order of their leader, Hiranyakashipu. So Prahlad was not famous at that time. In course of time, when people recognized his spiritual qualities, then only they started to recognize him. Do you think Jesus Christ was famous when he was present on this planet?
No.
But in course of time, people started to recognize his greatness. And then he became famous. Similarly, do you think Prabhupada was famous during his time? No. But with the passing of time, Prabhupada's glory will be established. So, in reality, it takes time for common people to recognize a great spiritual personality. Okay. Okay, next question, second question is, yeah. Give him the mic.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, my question is, should the devotees take up political leadership or administrative roles, or they should confine themselves?
Yeah, if the goal, if the goal of that politics is to establish Krishna consciousness, yes. But if the goal of politics, like other political leaders in most cases, is to cheat the mass and fill his coffer, then devotees shouldn't get involved in that. But I think eventually the Krishna conscious world will have political leaders who will stand in election, will win the election and establish Krishna conscious government. Give him the mic.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. As we discussed in today's lecture, that we must ask for a responsibility. We must not shy for it. This is what our role is. So my question is, being a student pursuing my higher studies, what my roles and responsibilities should be so that I can well be able to coordinate both of my spiritual and material life?
Very good. Very good question. Yeah. So when you're studying, prepare yourself. Study care, study nicely. Do well. That is the qualification of a devotee. Whatever he does it for Krishna. And therefore, he does it in the best possible way. Right? Arjuna is fighting, Karna is fighting. Right? Actually, skillfully, as far as skill is concerned, Karna was better than Arjuna. But eventually, who won? Arjuna. Why? Because he fought for Krishna, not for his own sake. So similarly, when you are studying, study for Krishna. Right? Because in this way, where the others will see that, oh, he is such a good boy. He is doing so well in his studies because he is a Hare Krishna. Right? So all of you, those who are studying, or those, whatever you do, do it in the best possible way so that the people will say, because he is a devotee, that's why he is the best. And on your part, you do it in the best possible way, not in order to become the best, but to put your best into it. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami Maharaj ki. So thank you Maharaj for inspiring everyone, and looks like as soon as everyone leaves out from this door, they are all going to become leaders. Some of them may not